This is the Young Farmers Podcast. I'm Lindsay Lusher-Shute. Well, everyone, we might finally have a farm bill. Last week, the House Agriculture Committee sent a draft over to the Senate Agriculture Committee for consideration. No one knows what's precisely in the bill, at least, you know, if you're not on staff of the committee or on the committee. And we probably won't know until the bill text is made public, but that could be very soon. For the latest on negotiations, I called up Tegan Finn. Tegan is an agriculture policy reporter for Bloomberg's VNA's Washington Bureau. She shares what she knows, thoughts on how the midterms have already impacted the bill and what next year might look like, as well as some of her reporting on the emerging issue of cell-based meat. And she'll explain what that is.
This is Selwyn Justice of Justice Brothers Ranch in beautiful Waddell, Arizona, where we grow citrus and raise beef cattle. I'm a member of the National Young Farmers Coalition because young and beginning farmers need every chance they can get to create a more sustainable future for farming. For just $35 a year, you can join too. In addition to being part of a bright and just future for agriculture in the United States, you'll also get discounts like 40% off Filson and 25% off farm to feed socks. To join, go to youngfarmers.org. Again, that's youngfarmers.org.
My name's Tegan Finn. I work for Bloomberg Government in D.C., and I cover agriculture policy.
I feel like this is a good day to be asking this question. What's the latest on the farm bill?
Yeah, it is a good day to be asking this. I was on the phone earlier with a conference call with Senator Grassley, and he had said he had spoken to some farm bill conferees yesterday, and he said that today and tomorrow will definitely be some big days to reach an agreement on a farm bill. And it seems as though there are a couple things that are still outstanding, but I think they're narrowing in on a final compromise.
And what are the issues that are still outstanding? I know that a few things were worked out late last week.
Yeah, so last week, Congressman Peterson, the ranking member on the House Agriculture Committee, had said that they had come to some sort of consensus, or the House at least had come up to a consensus on the nutrition title of the bill. So that seems like it could be worked out on the House side, but it's unclear to me if the Senate would be accepting their offer. And that their offer, the House offer, would be not taking what Chairman Conaway had wanted in terms of work requirements for food stamp recipients, and it would more focus on cracking down on SNAP waivers where states can waive the work requirement. So that is one thing that looks to be somewhat cleared up, but obviously it's a big sticking point, and it's until we see the final product, we won't know and what it will look like.
And could you explain that, Tegan, to me a little bit more? Is this the House proposal that was then sent to the Senate? Is that what you're talking about? Or was this internal House conversations where this compromise is being brokered at this point?
Sure. So last week, you know, I was on the Hill a lot, and I was talking to Chairman Conaway and Ranking Member Peterson, and it seemed as though what Chairman Conaway was saying was that it was a House offer to the Senate, and it was, as I know it, it included the nutrition title. It seems as though it's in the Senate's court right now, but I know staff have been working over the last couple days and passing different compromise ideas.
And so this new proposal, tell me the difference between the work requirements that were in the original House Farm Bill and the waivers that this new version is shifting towards.
Yeah, so this new version, it seems, you know, work requirements are something that Speaker Ryan had wanted, and I know President Trump has been very expressive in wanting work requirements, but I think that Chairman Conaway has come to realize that they will not get a Senate the Senate to support any measure with added work requirements. So this new offer, it seems, takes out that work training program or the additional work training program proposed in the House bill, and it would only really now focus on SNAP waivers.
And what is a SNAP waiver exactly?
Sure. So the waivers, states can apply for a waiver if they're at a certain poverty level or some other reasoning. States can be exempt from having to have the work requirements, so more recipients can get benefits.
So when you're talking about the work requirement waiver, that's for the work requirements that were put in place in the last farm bill?
Yes, this is for the current way the SNAP program works.
I see. Well, that's pretty big news. That's a major turnaround, because this, of course, was sort of the most divisive issue, or certainly one of the most divisive issues in this final farm bill negotiation.
Definitely. It's a huge turnaround. It's when, Ranking Member Peterson had talked about it last week, I was actually pretty surprised that they had come to some sort of agreement on this, because it is such a contentious title of the bill and a really big sticking point between the House and Senate and Republicans and Democrats.
And how did they get Conaway to change his mind? Because from conversations that I've had, everyone has just been saying how stubborn he's been about this and bullish on these work requirements. What inspired this turnaround and change of heart on this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was several things, but the major thing being that after the midterm elections happened, we see that now the House is majority Democrat, and he doesn't have as much leverage, and he knows that he needs to do something now, so there isn't another bill, a whole new bill written in a Democratic House. So he has decided to work with Ranking Member Peterson through their issues, and would rather have a bill than not have a bill.
Speaking of the election, how else are you seeing that impact the Farm Bill and the dynamics of the House Agricultural Committee?
Yeah, so with the midterm election, so looking into a new Congress, there will be at least six new spots on the committee opening up. And especially if we don't get a farm bill done and the new Congress will have to write a new farm bill, it will be very important who's on the committee, because the priorities will begin to shift. There might not be as much focus on, let's say, food stamps, or there might be more focus on food stamps and less on farm programs. So it's an important part of the farm bill negotiation to talk about who's on the committee. And something interesting to look at is if more suburban moms are would like to get onto the agriculture committee, you could see a big shift right onto food stamps. So it depends on who's elected on to the committee that the talks around the farm bill will begin to change and shift.
Who do you think is putting their name in the hat to be on the Ag Committee? Who do you think those six new members may be?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I haven't done a lot of analysis on that, but I think speaking to some Republican candidates before the midterm elections, several from South Dakota and upstate New York were interested in being on the Agriculture Committee. And so I think we could see a lot more people from different states being interested. And something that Colin Peterson had mentioned was that he wants to start fostering the younger members on the committee to become leaders on the Agriculture Committee.
Yeah, I met with Colin Peterson last week. We had the Leadership Convergence, the National Young Farmers Coalition's Leadership Convergence, and a big lobby day where I think we met with all four of the big four, what are they calling themselves?
The Fab Four.
And he expressed the same thing, that he's looking forward to working with new committee members, and I think a real eagerness just to have members stay on the Ag Committee for a longer period of time, so they can get to know ag policy a bit better. They can develop some expertise, which I agree would be incredibly helpful as we negotiate this farm bill and future farm bills as well.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the Agriculture Committee is not always the most popular committee, but I think it's interesting to see in a new Congress that agriculture issues are really vital to several new members. And so, I think it will be a more popular committee this coming Congress.
Why do you think it's not as popular as other committees?
I would say people don't hold agriculture policy as high as, let's say, healthcare or education, and I think lawmakers have to pick and choose between what policy issues fit their constituents. So I think maybe it's not less important, but it's not the priority.
And is there a sense of what the new democratically controlled House Agriculture Committee and House overall? You know, if they were to write a farm bill, what issues do you think would be the most important? What do you think would be different than the farm bill that we have on the table right now?
Some of the priorities I've been hearing would be obviously food stamps, and would not include any of the stringent or stricter work requirements proposed under the current House Farm Bill. And so I think we could see some of that. I also think we could see something in terms of more flexibility in terms of conservation. And then I also think, you know, for young farmers, I think that's a priority for younger Congress people. And so we could see some more focus on the youth and more focus on helping foster new farmers.
More on the election. You know, we saw Heidi Heitkamp's loss,
right,
and Donnelly's loss, and both of those lawmakers made Trump's trade war and its impact on farmers focal points of their campaigns, and they both lost. Do you think there's anything to glean from that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, there is only so much the USDA could do, and putting out the trade mitigation program was, I think it was impactful to the election, but I don't think it was enough to, obviously we saw it wasn't enough to sway voters one way or another, which is surprising because obviously farmers are hugely impacted by trade wars. You know, we look at it and we think that it could have moved the needle, but it really didn't.
Now, what do you think we learned just in general about rural America in this midterm election and this rural-urban divide?
Yeah, I think the rural-urban divide, we're seeing a lot more urban candidates. I think we need to pay attention more to urban farmers and urban voters because just agriculture seems to be shifting, as you know. And so I think the more we focus on farming in different capacities and in different populations, it's key to the elections and key to what happens in the next Congress for sure.
Any of Senator Stabenow put together the urban ag marker bill, farm bill, and I'm wondering how many of those provisions actually will make it into the final package?
You know, that's a good question. I'm actually not sure off the top of my head, but I think there were some provisions that were in the Senate bill, but making it into the final bill, it's hard to say. If it hasn't been in the limelight, I think it might be a good sign that it would be in the final bill.
Right.
And she obviously has a big stake in urban farming, so it may just make it.
Yeah, there are so many. This bill is such a beast for all reporters trying to, you know, report back on any element of it, like quickly, you know, that, or even for us figuring out as National Young Farmers Coalition how we are going to respond to it. It really does take time to sort through like what actually happened. Does anyone have a sense of when that language will be released or sort of when we can expect a farm bill?
Yeah, I will be optimistic and say I think it will happen this week. I think that they're very close, and I think it will take, you know, one or two people just to say yes and to compromise for them to reach something. So I think
so,
it could.
So that's today or tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
A new House majority Do you think they're going to use their subpoena oversight power to look into anything at USDA? How do you think that that's going to relate to agriculture?
Sure. I think, you know, I have spoken to Ranking Member Peterson, and he has definitely talked about further oversight of USDA. And yeah, I think there will be a much deeper look into, you know, food safety and poultry speed lines and, you know, the USDA's relocation of staff of their NIFA and ERS staff, he mentioned, was another issue he wanted to dig deeper into. So I think we'll see a lot more honing in on what the USDA is doing.
Antigone, I know you've been doing some reporting and following this issue of cellular-based meat products.
You're right.
what is going on with that and what they are?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
My impression and what I've heard about this product, which is, and please correct me if this description is right. I mean, we're not talking about animals, we're talking about cells from animals that are essentially grown in the lab to be something that is similar to like a hamburger, right? Or something.
Yeah.
It produces cells that are similar to muscle, to livestock. It's available, the technology is there, but it's really not set to scale at this moment. I just wonder, like, why is this coming up now? Do you have a sense of like what the reality is? Is it all sort of just hype, or is there, you know, does this pose like a legitimate threat to the livestock industry?
That's a good question. Several companies have said they're not, you know, they're still in the works. They're still working to get to a product that they can sell to market. And I think it's several years down the road, to be honest. There's just a lot of questions in terms of how sustainable this is, in terms of pricing and also consumer interest in something like this. I personally don't see it hugely changing the livestock industry. But I do think when they decide on what they want to call it, that will greatly impact consumers, and also it will just represent what represent the sales or the possibility of sales for it. If they call it, you know, I know they want to say clean meat, and livestock producers are argue that their meat is clean.
I mean, can they call it meat at all?
So they use the stem cells of a cow or a pig, and then they, in a petri dish, use those cells to essentially grow a burger patty of some sort. So it is from an animal, but the process to get it to the same product as an everyday hamburger from a cow that's on a pasture is a much, much different looking process. They're night and day.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow moving forward. So, Tegan, is there anything else that we should be prepared for, big ag issues coming up before the end of this year? I mean, obviously the Farm Bill is like the biggest biggest of them all, but what do you anticipate over the next month?
It'll be good to see what happens with the Agriculture Appropriations Bill. It's unclear if that will be packaged with the other remaining bills that need to get done before the end of the year. So that's another thing to watch and see what happens to some of the riders on that bill, such as the one about cell-cultured meat. So that will be something to watch. And of course, what happens with the Farm Bill, if that doesn't get done, that'll mean a whole another year of seeing what happens and seeing what they put together for a new bill. So it's pretty clear that the Farm Bill is number one at this point.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking time. We really appreciate your insight and your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Tegan. We'll update you on the Farm Bill at Young Farmers on Twitter and Instagram, as well as at Young Farmers Podcast on Instagram. Leave your comments on this week's episode there. We also want to give a shout out to Becca and V, who gave us such a sweet review on iTunes this week. She says, so listen to this podcast. I absolutely love this podcast, and I'm so grateful for the way they approach important issues affecting farmers. Becca, thanks so much for this feedback. We really appreciate it. If you want to give us a review, just put it on iTunes and we will thank you as well. Writing a review, it only takes a couple of minutes and it really does help more people find this podcast. As always, this podcast was recorded at Radio Kingston and was edited by Hannah Beal. Talk to you soon.